Well, welcome to week two of our sermon series called Living Witnesses. And what we're talking about is how to effectively go and witness in this world. And in order to do that, we need to be living and walking witnesses. We're not just selling a product, we're selling a way of life. We're sharing the goodness of God's love and His grace and His mercy. Well, there's an old saying that says, clothes make the man. Now, the history of men's fashion sometimes make me wonder if that is true. This was the epitome of men's fashion during the Renaissance. And this next slide, this was the epitome of the men's fashion during the colonial period. Then the next one, that's the epitome of men's fashion during the late 19th century. And this was the epitome of men's fashions during the early 20th century. Remember when people even went to ball games dressed like that, right? And this is the epitome of men's fashions today. I'm not sure we've really progressed. Mark Twain had this quote. He once said regarding fashion, clothes make the man. Naked people have little or no influence on society. In 1983, during my youth, ZZ Top released a hit song called A Sharp-Dressed Man. Because every girl's crazy, right? About a sharp-dressed man. And every year, Hollywood elite try to outdo each other on the red carpet, sometimes often having flamboyant or great big costumes, but they spend lots of money to look good for one night. And let's face it, we often judge people by what they wear. That's one of the reasons I often wear a collar. I'm wearing one of the few clergy who still do that. And why, and there are many professions that having a uniform makes a difference, right? Our police, our firefighters, our military, we certainly expect them to wear uniforms, and it makes a difference when somebody shows up to your house wearing a uniform. And even when it comes to things like plumbers, mechanics, nurses, and doctors, work uniforms gives you a sense of professionalism, right? Because if a guy walked in with a piece of straw in his mouth and a big old cowboy hat and bib overalls and walked into your office and said, I think you got cancer, you probably might want, right? You're expecting the guy with the lab coat and the stethoscope, right? The uniform makes a difference. And clothing terms often define our society, right? We have terms like white collar and blue collar. That comes from the old days where the manufacturing guys wore blue uniforms and the guys in the office wore the white shirts and the ties. And we have sayings like a group of kids might be a ragtag bunch, you know. Clothing can define something about somebody. Our clothes can identify our culture, our social status, and sometimes our clothes can literally say something about us. They can define our politics, our sports allegiance, or just simply state the truth. And in the Bible, the Apostle Paul defines our clothing as this, from Colossians 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This is in contrast to what we learned last week, and earlier in Colossians, Paul wrote this. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now, you must also rid yourselves of all things such as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. You remember last week we focused on the difference between our earthly identity and our Christian identity. And as Christians, we have to put on this new identity. We have to be like Christ. We have to be changed. We can no longer be identified by worldly ways. Everything about us must be different. And Paul says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, which means set apart, and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Sometimes it is shameful the way Christians act. The things that come out of our mouths or end up on social media posts are so ungodly. James writes this. He says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. If we are going to be living witnesses, if we're going to lead other people to Christ, how can we do this if we do not clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience? How can we be living witnesses if we are bashing our opponents and sometimes even bashing each other? Jesus stated this on the night that he shared the Last Supper. He says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If we want to be living witnesses for Christ, if we want to grow the church, if we want to add people who are being saved, it starts with loving each other. And when Jesus told this to his disciples on that night, he knew that they did not understand what was going to happen, right? We talked about that in our sermon series at Easter. But he knew that if this new way, this Christianity, was going to take root and survive, if there was any chance for them to become the church and survive centuries of torment and punishment, that the disciples had to stick together and love each other. And he said, this is how people will know you are my disciples. He said, this is how they will know you are devoted followers. He said, this is how you know they're going to be my church, is if you love one another. If you love one another. And the Apostle Paul knew it wasn't going to be easy, for he writes back in Colossians, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, and forgive as the Lord forgave you. Bear with each other. That's easier to do with some people than it is with others, isn't it? If you ever read The Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren in his book said, in any group setting, there's an EGR. That means extra grace required. In every group, there's an EGR. And if you're in a group and you don't know who the EGR is, you're probably the EGR. Bear with each other. We're all striving for Christian perfection. We should all be Christ-like, but we have to admit there are days it's hard to get along. There's days we're not always pleasant. Living for Christ is not always easy. And life continually gives us challenges. And Paul says, bear with each other. Endure with each other. Stick with each other. He says, have love and empathy for one another as we battle the world together. And in doing so, we must also forgive. If someone does something wrong, we need to forgive them. Remember when Jesus said this, after teaching them the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, he says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. We have been given the ultimate grace and love of Christ. There is no way that any one of us could ever earn God's grace. So if we do not have the ability to earn God's grace, if we're undeserving of God's love, what makes us think that other people have to earn our forgiveness? Now, I'm not saying someone may not have to earn their trust back. And I'm not saying there isn't room where people need to be punished. But there's a difference between forgiving somebody and redeeming somebody. When you forgive somebody, it allows for healing and growth in that other person, and it allows for your healing and growth. Because when you harbor anger, when you harbor animosity, when you harbor these things, it's hard to be compassionate. It's hard to be nice. It dwells and festers inside of you. Giving forgiveness increases your capacity to love. We can still hold people accountable, but we need to forgive them. And then Paul says in verse 14, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Love is the source of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Love is what allows us to bear with each other. Love is what brings forgiveness. Without love, we are phonies. Without love, we are hypocrites. Remember that 1960 song written by Burt Bacharach? What the world needs now is love, sweet love. What the world needs now is God's love. God's sweet love. And it is only through us, through the church, that they can see and experience God's love. People, we live where even more than ever, we have generations of unchurched people. They don't know the word Jesus other than in front of a swear word. They only know God's name by what the letters that follow. They see churches, but they have no idea what they're for. They have no idea what a preacher, a pastor, a ministry, or anything is. Do you think they know about Jesus and his love? And if they don't experience that love for us, where else are they going to get it? And Paul continues in verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And I like this add-on, and be thankful. The peace of Christ. What are we worried about, people? Why are we upset? Why do we have anxiety? Why do we let the news change the tone of our day? We have the peace of Christ. We have the knowledge of forgiveness and love and eternal life. I mean, look at the world around us, right? It's nothing but chaos and division. And if you ask me, the politicians do nothing but make it worse. But I think we all expect that. What is most disappointing are the number of Christians sowing seeds of discord, expressing their anger, and openly bashing people who oppose them. If you're on social media, I encourage you to look back at the last 3 days of your posts and say, wow, was that the peace of Christ? Look back at the conversations you've had the last 3 days, whether it's been about family or politics or anything else. Did that really encourage the peace of Christ? He said, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Rule. That means it trumps everything. It's in charge. It's in control. Because as members of one body, the church, as members of the church, we are called to peace. And we are to be thankful. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you, God, for your compassion and your forgiveness. Because as I've said time and time again, how we live, we're either leading people toward Christ or we're leading people away from Christ. I think the number one reason people don't want to become Christians is because of Christians. We're seen as phonies, hypocrites, backstabbing, gossiping, slandering. We can't be leading people to Christ if we are full of anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. We can't lead others to Christ when we are lying to each other. We have to stop acting like the world, and we need to clothe ourselves in the image of Christ. We must put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We must bear with each other and forgive one another. And most importantly, we must put on love. We're the recipients of God's love, not because we deserved it, but because God loved us. And if we're truly going to become the image of God, then we need to love the others the way we have been loved by God. Several times in scriptures it said, Jesus came over the top of the hill and saw the people and he had compassion on them. And when we see lost and broken people, when we see people out in the streets angry and rioting, and when we see all these other things going on, we should not be filled with anger and malice. We should be filled with compassion. It should turn our hearts to say, those people don't have the peace of Christ. Those people don't have the love of Jesus Christ. Those people have not been forgiven of their sins. And we'll see later. It doesn't mean we don't hold people accountable. It doesn't mean we love everybody and just let everything go. But it's different when you see somebody who you see needs Christ than somebody who really ticked you off. It's a different way to see things, isn't it? It's different to see people that disagree with you. It's different to see people that put down your God. It's difficult to see people who are atheists. It's difficult to see all the things that are going on in this month. But instead of cursing or using filthy language, instead of being angry and having malice towards people, we should say, I wish that person had the love of Christ in their hearts like I do. I wish that person knew what Jesus Christ could do in their lives and how it could transform them and lift them up. It's a different way to look at things, people. All Jesus told people, don't go and sin no more. And we need to carry the message of sin and condemnation, don't get me wrong. But we can't do it if we're going in there with, oh, I'm going to fix that person. We'll give them Jesus Christ whether they like it or not, right? That's not going to work. We've never hated anybody into the church. We can only love people into the church. You can't change people, but the Holy Spirit can. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we continue into the sermon series, the Lord, may ears be opened, may hearts be softened, and may we think differently about how we live, not for our glory, but for your glory, and that we live in such a way that we are powerful witnesses because of our love, because of our compassion, our kindness, our gentleness, our humility, and because we carry the peace that comes with knowing you as our Lord and Savior. Lord, may you change how we live and how we witness. Through the power of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I think some of us fail to recognize the power that comes with our salvation. And something I did post on social media was a little meme that pretty much said, if your faith isn't changing you, how can you expect your faith to change anybody else? People, we have to change. And we have to become a people of peace and love. I'm not saying next Sunday we're all going to be in tie-dyes and long hair and sitting around a campfire. But in all that we do, we need to go with the love and the peace of Jesus Christ and see people the way Jesus saw them, as somebody who needs the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Not that you need something, you need to be fixed. It needs to be God fixed me. And God changed me, and I want God to change you. I want you to have the gift that I have. I want you to feel the power of God's love embrace you. I want you to feel that peace and assurance that I fear nothing. I fear nothing. So let us go and be the purveyors of peace, compassion, gentleness, kindness, and humility. Let us go and serve in God's holy name. Go now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I pray.